TED Audio Collective.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
A quick new idea daily from the world's greatest TEDx talks. I'm your host, Atossa Leone, and this is TEDx Shorts. So many fans eat up fantastical medieval shows with charismatic kings and queens leading nations into war. But is that how it really worked? Today's speaker argues that in the late Middle Ages, institutions like religion may have been just as important as allegiance to a nation, border, or leader. Taking a cue from the show Game of Thrones, historian and policy analyst Maria Golubeva shows us what we can learn from the values of this time period.
I love watching the Game of Thrones. Whenever a new episode is released, my partner and I make time in the evening to watch it. Seriously, it is a remarkably well-made TV series with a versatile, well-told story about some universal human passions, such as the passion for power. I also love history, especially late medieval history, from which apparently George Martin borrowed some of the plot elements of the Game of Thrones. But I have bad news for you today. Medieval politics was not like the Game of Thrones. First, for all its flavor of family drama, with royalty and nobility playing a huge role, medieval history was much more about institutions than it was about personalities. It was about guilds, city councils, and courts of law, much more than it was about kings and queens like Cersei or Robert Baratheon. Most importantly, unlike in the Game of Thrones, the Middle Ages ended with a conflict over ideas, not over some kind of an iron throne. I see around us today many things that remind me of the time when the secular states of late medieval West were declining, and when identity politics based on religion was on the rise. So I can think of at least two ways how knowing something about medieval history may help us to understand something about our politics today. Reason one, our society operates on the assumption that countries are stable entities. Their borders and political institutions are more or less fixed when an international order, which is based on states, is threatened. We're overwhelmed with a sense of crisis. This is because states give us a sense of security. Sometimes true, in other cases false, but they do. So what can be more stable than a country? Obviously, this is a delusion. In Europe today, there are some institutions that are older than the state. Many of these institutions were founded in the Middle Ages. The University of Paris is much older than the Republic of France in its current borders, not to mention its political institutions. The University of Tartu is older than the state of Estonia. The Ospedale Maggiore Hospital in Milan is much, much older than the state of Italy. And organized market exchanges, like the Exchange of Bruges, have in total existed much longer than the current kingdoms of Belgium and the Netherlands. At the time when these institutions were created, they lived in a totally different landscape with different political institutions, different borders, and vastly different laws. So how can this knowledge help us? Well, in the time of new global instability, we can learn what it takes to create robust and resilient institutions that can serve the needs of people, like the universities and hospitals of medieval Europe, that were run by public-minded collectivities of individuals and outlived many countries with their borders and laws, serving the needs of society as it changed. For an institution to set goals that go beyond the current national benchmarks of whatever government is in power is actually a good idea. For a government to be sufficiently humble to recognize that some institutions are too important to be meddled with on a daily basis is an even better idea. Moreover, we should strive to create institutions that serve the needs of people that could possibly outlive our current states. Reason two, in our society and in our politics, like in the politics of late medieval cities and principalities, we are guided by some idea of the good life. Sometimes it's a pretty general idea. For example, politicians think that a country with a rising GDP is much better than a country with a falling GDP. But sometimes it's a much more specific idea. Some leaders think that a country with stringent controls of migration or sexuality or religion is a much better country. So in late medieval Europe, in some countries, some governments also had what I would call a fairly general and even materialist idea of the good life. For instance, peace, trade, and prosperity. This was a very general, non-specific idea of the good life for the community. So the people in power took it upon themselves to decide which set of religious principles was right and to impose their vision of the good life with arms. The effect this very specific idea of the good life had on life as such was devastating. Today, many people who know European history think that the war in the Netherlands in the 16th century was about independence from Spain. Maybe, but for those who tried to defend the status quo, this war was about which religious principles should be followed by the community, about the idea of the good life. And it was a very bloody war. People killed for a narrowly understood idea of the good life. In some parts of the world, this is still happening today. So what can we learn from this? No, it's not only about secularism. Though secularism does help when you have groups of people with different, sometimes clashing ideas in your society. But importantly for us today, we can also learn that when politics becomes a quest for a narrowly understood idea of the good life, it ends badly. Trying to implement a very inflexible, stringent idea of the good life with political power can lead to devastating consequences. Making politics more moral may be a slogan that leads to less competence and ultimately to more conflict and less prosperity.
The TEDx talk you just listened to was recorded in Riga, Latvia. All TEDx events are independently organized by volunteers who believe in TED's mission of ideas worth spreading. Special thanks to the organizing team at TEDx Riga. Want to listen to more TEDx talks? Explore the entire archive on the TEDx YouTube channel. I'm Atossa Leone. Thanks for listening and see you tomorrow.